is going off, so that is indicating it's time to pray. And 12 o'clock every day, we are encouraging our people to seek the Lord. We'll bow for a moment at this stage of the service, at the beginning, and seek the face of God. Almighty God and everlasting Father, we humble our hearts in thy presence now. We draw near to your throne of grace, and we do so through the merit of the blood of Christ. We come to remember our land, especially in these days of crisis. We come to think about what is happening with coronavirus and to plead very simply for the mercy of God. We know that in wrath, God remembers mercy, and it's mercy we plead. Intervene, we pray, according to your will and your divine purpose. Move in the nation. Remember those that are in particular need in the health service, the staff, and remember those that are sick and being treated, and remember those that are dying. We pray that each one may prepare to meet the Lord and to be found in a state of grace and readiness, so that when that moment comes for any of us, that it will be well with us forevermore. Hear this, our prayer. Continue now with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming to worship the Lord, and as we do so, we're singing together the paraphrase 30 in our hymn books, based on the words of Hosea chapter 6 in the opening four verses. And this is a paraphrase that exhorts us to return to the Lord with contrite hearts and to seek him earnestly. And let us be blessed through listening to a past congregation in this place. It's a pre-recording that you're going to listen to now, but let's worship the God, our God, in the midst of the singing. Shall we stand to sing?
Yeah.
want to say amen to all those verses that have been sung, trusting that they have been a blessing to you. Our psalm for today is the Psalm 8. Let us read the word of God before we pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. May God be pleased to bless the reading of this psalm to our hearts. Let us bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Call upon his name. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, once again we draw near to thee through the merit of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the grounds of redemption, the grounds of our peace and acceptance with God. We thank thee that we have a great heavenly high priest who intercedes for us and who perfects our prayers through the merit of his blood. We thank thee that we are heard in heaven for his sake. And Lord, we're asking thee afresh to look upon the face of thine anointed, and for Jesus' sake, hear our cry this day, answer our prayers according to thy will, and give us discernment in our praying that we might pray according to the will of God. We pray that we will be led and directed by the Lord so that we might have the mind of Christ in those things that we bring to the throne of heavenly grace. Thank thee for this season of worship, for those that are gathering with us on sermon audio and Facebook. Help us, Lord, under these difficult circumstances to collectively, just where we are, the preacher here in the church and our congregation out there sitting in the confinement of their homes, to worship the Lord and to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Help us to give our hearts to thee at this time and our minds over to the things of God. We pray that thou wilt rid us of any distraction, that thou wilt take from us those things that would so easily call our minds and our hearts and our attention away from the business that is before us. We know that it would be so easy to be distracted in our homes, but Lord, help us to think about thee and to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. We do come to the Lord this day, as we were singing in the paraphrase, with contrite hearts. We thank thee that God is gracious. Thank thee for the proclamation of this great truth in that which we have sung. And Lord, we praise thee that thou art the God whose voice commands the tempest, and you are the one who stills the stormy wave. We find ourselves in the midst of a storm in these days, as coronavirus is raging through the nations of the world. Well, we thank thee that the God who has permitted these things and this storm to arise is the same God who was able to say, peace be still, and to bring a great calm. We know that thou wilt do this, and you will do it for your people. You will do it for the remnant's sake. And Lord, you have a timing in all these things. We recognize the sovereign hand of God in every minute detail. Thou art working your purpose out in the earth, and we humbly submit to that. And there are lessons to learn. And Father, we pray that thou wilt give us eyes to see and hearts to understand what the message of God is in these days. Undoubtedly, thou art speaking to the unconverted. Thou art teaching those who know not Christ the brevity of life, the mortality of the body, the immortality of the soul. Thou art reminding us that we must leave this world. We must go out into eternity, and we must be prepared in the light of these things. Speak to the unconverted today. Send an awakening alarm to their minds and hearts. Disturb their peace. Disturb, Lord, that attitude that they have, that they just sail along in this life without much thought about their soul, without much thought about eternity. Step into their lives today. And Lord, you have a word for your people. You've been speaking to us in these days. We thank thee for that. We pray that you will help us to hear this day, even in the house of God, what is being said from your word. And day by day, as we draw near to God in the scripture, and as we have a listening ear for the voice of God, that you will speak, and speak powerfully and mightily. There are words of comfort that we need to hear, words of encouragement. There are words of exhortation, even words of warning. And Lord, we want to drink in every day what God is saying to us and be taught of God in these days. We want to commit our health service into your hands. We know that we're entering into a dark period now over the course of the next week and more. We pray for the nurses and the doctors who are serving thee so excellently in these days, who are putting their lives in danger, who are on the front line. We think of the paramedics, the care workers, the hospital staff, the emergency services, the police force. We want to commit them all into your hands this day. And then, Lord, there are the many who are sick. Some of them are known to us, and some, Lord, prayer has been requested for. We know of those belonging to our own congregation who have had many of the symptoms of this virus, and they have struggled in the past week or two. We thank thee for those who are recovering and making progress, and we praise thee for answered prayer. And Lord, others are still very ill, and we will come to see that later in the prayer list. We commend them to your grace. We think afresh of those who have been diagnosed with this virus, that prayer has been requested for, thinking of Tom Sampson in Randallstown, and David Montgomery from Dromore. We pray for Craig McVeigh in Liverpool. And we think, Lord, of Edwin Cutter in England, this dear pastor who has been laid aside with the virus. Lord, he needs thee today. May your peace reign in his heart. We think of George Hamill. Thank thee for progress in his life and for touching him. And then there's others, Lord, and they're in a difficult way. Prayer has been requested for Mary Collins today, and we want to commit Mary into your hands. We pray that you will bring healing to her body. We think of our brother Bert, too, suffering with cancer, that thou will be with him, especially in these days of vulnerability, that your presence will be known to him just where he is. For our missionaries that are shut in and isolated at this time, still in the field, we commit into your care our sister Noreen and the Fosters there in Uganda, our sister Margaret as she's isolated there in Kenya, and Joy in Nepal. We think of our brother Paul Sapa as he seeks to give leadership in the church in Nepal, that thou will bless him. And remember Dipankar as he seeks to carry on a work under difficult circumstances there in India. Father, we pray in the midst of it all, when darkness surrounds and clouds gather, that there will be brightness, that there will be honor brought to thee, that God will be pleased to move with power through the earth in this time of gospel opportunity. Remember the dear unconverted ones, those that are listening in today to our church services. Lord, speak to them where they are. Remember new converts. We thank thee for those who have been converted to Christ in these recent days. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Lead them on with yourself. And Lord, as we think of today, we are reminded of Palm Sunday in that victorious occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ came riding into the city of Jerusalem. We know that the crowds came out to hear him that day and to praise him as the king coming to their city. We know that it was a time of joy and gladness and victory and triumph. And yet we know at the same time it was a time of sadness in the heart of Christ, because when he came into view of the city, amidst all the applause, amidst the cheering, amidst the joy that was in the hearts of the people who took their garments off and strawed them in the way, the Lord Jesus thought about the people who lived in that city, and he thought of the destruction of that place, and he wept over it. And gracious God, we weep over our cities. We weep over our towns. We weep over the dear lost ones who know not Christ. Oh, Father, we pray by the power and ministry of the Spirit that thou wilt reach them and teach them the things of God and the message of the gospel in these days. Hear this, our prayer, because we ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. The Lord is going to be further worshipped in the singing of 445, again a hymn from the past. It's very appropriate to sing this hymn. It's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven for many of the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. I want you to think of the words as they are sung to you. Listen in. May the Lord apply the truth of these words to us. It's not an easy road that we're traveling in these days. Not an easy road when it comes to the worship of God and the church is empty. Not an easy road when you're shut in at home. Not an easy road that our nurses and doctors and care workers and medics are facing in these days. But Jesus walks beside us. And thank God he brightens the journey. May that be our experience today on this Sabbath. That's a good singing as we stand to sing. Let's really worship the Lord. Maybe you have had your hymn book opened as you have listened to the song. I've had my hymn book opened, I have been following the words. It's not an easy road. I think we're finding that in these days. Maybe you are identifying with the thorns on the way. You can think of the trials and the troubles, the dangers. Maybe your feet are sore and weary with the journey, and you're bowed down with care. Oh, do remember that Jesus walks beside us, and he brightens the journey, and he lightens every heavy load. We bid you welcome to the service here at Hebron as you join us remotely on Sermon Audio and Facebook. We are delighted to have you. May you be blessed as we worship God together. We come back to the church tonight at 7 o'clock for the gospel service. Coronavirus is in the world, it's widespread, and we want to try and bring messages these days that are fitting and appropriate. And tonight I want to speak about the family that had to self-isolate for over a year. Many of us have found the past 2 weeks difficult as we have gone into a semi-state of self-isolation for many of us, only going out if it's really necessary to the shop to get some groceries or to the pharmacy to get some medication. I'm going to talk to you about a family that didn't go out to the shop, that didn't go to the pharmacy, but a family that was isolated for over a year. And everything that they needed for that isolation had to be provided at the start. So you come and join with us again on Sermon Audio or Facebook for tonight's service at 7 o'clock and be much in prayer. Tuesday night, the Youth Challenge link up will be going out on Facebook at 7 o'clock. Thank Andrew and the team for putting this out faithfully every week in these days. Thursday night, we come back here to the house of God. It's our midweek service, and we come for Bible study and prayer. And that's what will take place as we've done the past couple of weeks. We will study the scriptures together, hear from the Lord together, and then we come again to the throne of grace together, and we will give you the pointers, what to pray for as we join in prayer as a congregation. Friday night, the Mission Board FPC Kids program will go out live on Facebook. And we are indebted to our children's evangelists for putting this together. Also on Friday night, our youth fellowship will have their gathering for fellowship and Bible study. Thank those who took part last Friday night. I was able to tune in and spend time with them. We trust that the Lord will bless them and Samuel as he gives leadership there. And that is done by Zoom. So you're not going to get it on Sermon Audio. You're not going to get it on Facebook. But if you're a young person, especially from our own congregation, contact Samuel. If you're not already joining in for these Friday night time of fellowship, then you can do that. Broadcasting live again in the will of God next Sabbath day. Our services at 12, noon, and 7. The preacher in the will of God is your minister. Sabbath school, 11, Bible class, 11, going out there, indebted to those that are keeping this ministry going, to those that lead our Bible class, and to our Sunday school superintendent. We've received missionary gifts, £310, £150, and £100, sacrificial giving in these days of great need. Just want to remind you that we are here to help. Myself, our home missioner, the office bearers, and volunteers are available to help with the seniors of the church, those that are vulnerable, sick, and in any need. We will, of course, operate under strict health and safety rules. We're happy to encourage you by a phone call, to run an errand for you, to get you medication or groceries, to pray with you at this time, or if there's any other help that we can assist with. You can contact me or Alex or any of the office bearers, and we will do what we can to assist. Bringing round our seniors and vulnerable each week, we know that this has been a blessing to those who have received the phone calls. And reaching out where we can into the community to help. And if there are those out there in Ballymoney and the surrounding area, and we can help you in any way that's part of the ministry of the church here, please contact us. I want to offer a very sincere word of sympathy to the McConaghy family on the passing of Sammy. So to Tommy and Sharon, to James and Heather, to their families and the whole family circle, we say to them, we're thinking about them in their time of great need. Sammy passed away and was buried the next day. And it was under the strange circumstances in our country, as you know, where there's just the immediate family who are permitted to go to the graveside and have a short funeral service. Very surreal. But our thoughts in the midst of the circumstances and the grief are with this family in need. Please pray for them in their sorrow. Continue, please, to send in your tithes and offerings, building fund, your contributions to Let the Bible Speak, your missionary covenants, the school, all those things. Over the past couple of weeks, it's been very difficult to give our offerings and tithes to the Lord because we're not physically present here in the house of God. But we would like to encourage you to do that. Our offering and our envelopes and all the support that we bring into the church this past couple of weeks has been down considerably, as you can well imagine. I think it's only about a third of what normally comes in. And so we don't want to struggle. We've still bills to pay. We have missionaries to support and covenant money that we need to keep coming in as we support our students and so forth. And you can give your contributions in the usual way that we've suggested to you. We have many prayer requests. Not going to take a lot of time to go through these with you, but we do spend time on a Thursday night just to list them. We're praying for God's intervention. We're praying for all the broadcasts that are going out weekly. We're praying for the frontline services, doctors, nurses, anaesthetists, paramedics, hospital workers, care workers, police service, and so forth. Remembering very, very especially our nurses before the Lord in prayer. And some others have been added to the list that are connected to the congregation here by way of family and friends, and we certainly want to pray for them. And our doctors as well. Let's leave them before the Lord, adding their Roberta McKenzie to the list from last week. Our paramedics, our care workers, and again a couple of names being added. And then we have the many that have been sick and have been unwell. We've prayed already this day for our brother Bert, who is in a very low valley in these days. We're glad that Ian and Sarah and Brenda are recovering. And Pat Mills, she's had a very serious lung infection for over a month. Pray that the touch of the Lord will be in her life. And we've mentioned to you Mary Collins and George Hamill and Dr. Barnes, who has these clots in his lungs. And that young man from Uganda, a former pupil at Emmanuel, Ivan. Quite a few of these have displayed symptoms of the virus. Some of them have not been diagnosed officially, but they've certainly suffered a lot, and our prayers and thoughts are with them. We do think of those that have been infected with COVID-19. I mentioned there to you George Hamill from Ballymoney, and then the others that we prayed for, Craig McVeigh, Tom Sampson, David Montgomery, and Pastor Edwin Cutter. Pray for the messages that are going out on a daily basis. I think it's now the 15th message went out this morning, and many people are viewing them and looking at them, listening to them, and we're humbled about that. But good to know that the message is going out, the Word of God is being shared, people are being encouraged and helped to go on in the midst of the crisis, and you pray about these things, please. That God's voice will be heard where it needs to be heard especially. And the usual prayer list that we set before you on the announcement sheet, it's there for you to remember these individuals in prayer. Continue to remember the missionaries and the churches that we're very much involved in. Remember this program that's going out twice a week on a Friday night and a Sunday morning on behalf of the Mission Board, the FPC kids. Now we're going to worship God. This would be the usual time to have the offering. I'm sorry you can't press a button on your screen at home to give your tithe and your offering to the work of God. But we're going to worship the Lord as we sing together the hymn 482. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. This is a hymn of prayer. We want to certainly pray that in the nation at this time, that God will have his way. In all that is being done, he will have his way. And we want to pray it as we come to the word of God today, that the Lord will have his way over our hearts and our lives, and mould us and make us after his will, and do a definite work of grace in us all this very Sabbath. Let us listen to this pre-recorded song, 482. It's appropriate to just seek the Lord now in prayer as we come to the scriptures. Let's bow together in the light of the hymn, in the light of what we have prayed in this hymn already. Our Father, it is our desire that you'll have your way in our lives now, that you will hold over our being absolute sway. For this preacher, fill him with the Spirit of God, and fill the congregation with the Spirit of God as they listen to the message. And Lord, we do pray that in these days, as we are filled with the Spirit of God, that men will see and see clearly Christ living in us. May that be so. Help us to handle your word in a right way. Help us to know the guidance of God in the message, Spirit of God, come alongside now and be the great teacher of your word to every heart, and speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I think in these days it is important to hear what God is saying in the midst of coronavirus and what biblical lessons that there are to learn. And I want to come to a passage of scripture in the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 13. And I'm going to read with you just the opening five verses of this chapter. And I want in the message, in the course of the message today, to try and answer with regard to coronavirus, is this the judgment of God? Is this the judgment of God? Now let's read these words in Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him, that is, told the Lord Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners, above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Amen. May God bless this further reading from his own divine truth to every heart. We hear people say that coronavirus is the judgment of God upon the nations of the world. We look out into this earth and we see so much suffering and anguish and pain. The earthquakes that come, the tsunamis that rise, thousands of people die. We think of the volcanic eruptions that occur and the mudslides that devastate entire villages and thousands of people die. Terrorists hijack planes, fly them into the Twin Towers on 9/11, and almost 3,000 people die. You will remember, many of you are old enough to remember, the Chernobyl disaster in 1986. Two people died in the initial explosion, but it's likely that many, many thousands of people died from the radiation exposure in the aftermath. And then we think of the many pandemics through the course of history, going away back many centuries to the Black Death, 1346 to 1358. This disease that traveled from Asia to Europe, leaving devastation in its wake. Some estimate that it wiped out over half of Europe's population, tens of thousands of people. And then there was the Great Plague of London in 1665-66, when it is reckoned that 100,000 people died. The Great Plague of Marseille in 1720-23, 100,000 people died. The Russian Plague, 1770-72, 100,000 people again reckoned to have died. What about the flu pandemic, 1889-1890? 1 million people died. The Asian flu, 1957-58, over 1 million people died. The swine flu, not that long ago, 2009 onwards, it's estimated that between 152,000 and 575,000 died in the first year of the pandemic. But by far the worst pandemic in recent history, called the Spanish flu in 1918, killed, it is estimated, 50 million people worldwide. Were these the judgments of God? Was God punishing a sinful and disobedient people? Was the Almighty, as it were, calling men and women prematurely out into eternity because of widespread sin? I have to admit, I cannot tell for sure. You would need to know the very mind of God in his decree to give an accurate, informed opinion. It's so easy to pass judgment. It's so easy to say, this is the judgment of God. This pandemic is the judgment of God, when you equate it with what is evident out there, the wickedness of the world. I know that God is grieved because of sin. Undoubtedly, it is murder and it is outrageous carnage to take the life of the unborn child. The Worldometer calculates that there have been 11 million abortions this year so far, just this year, in the first 3 months of the year. 11 million abortions. Are not the millions upon millions of innocent little children ripped from their mothers' wombs, crying out to God for vengeance? The world is filled with immorality of the worst kind: adultery, fornication, sodomy, incest, pedophilia, scourging the nations of the world. And God is grieved. His anger is provoked without doubt. But I cannot say that these pandemics are a direct result of wickedness. I know that God destroyed the old world by a flood, because the wickedness, the scripture tells us, of man was great in the earth. Genesis 6 and verse 5 tells us that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God purposed, because of the wickedness of the old world, to wipe off the inhabitants from this globe. I know that God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, because their sin was very grievous. We read that in Genesis 18 and verse 20. I know also that God allowed Israel to be smitten by the Philistines back in 1 Samuel chapter 4 in a very great slaughter, when 34,000 soldiers died because the people of God had sinned against the Lord and forgotten him. That was the time when the ark of God was taken by the Philistines. I know that when the ark was recovered and brought back to Beth Shemesh, that the people rejoiced when they saw the ark. They praised God. They offered sacrifices unto him. But the men of Beth Shemesh did something unlawful. They looked into the ark, something that was forbidden for them to do. Now, you might think that that is trivial, something very small, but my friends, God did not count it as a trivial matter, and he smote the men of that place with a plague, and over 50,000 people died. Coronavirus and these other pandemics and calamities may be the judgment of God upon the wickedness of man, for the wickedness of man today is very great. But it might also be the chastening hand of God upon his people, like it was for Israel back in 1 Samuel chapter 4, as he chastens a people who have sinned against him, who have failed to seek him first, who have failed to honor him, who have failed to worship him. Many, many Christians through the world have become carnal and worldly, and in many ways they have forgotten God. And God gave a warning a clear warning to his people in the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 6. Let me read it to you, just a few verses from verse 10. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. In other words, when it's good with you, when you have enjoyed these temporal blessings. Verse 12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. And ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And so instead of looking out with harsh criticism upon a wicked society, and it is a wicked society, and proclaiming the judgment of God, which is a very easy thing to do, my friends, we ought to look inwardly. It may be the judgment of God upon the nations of a wicked world, but it may be the judgment of God upon the Lord's people, because we have departed so much from him. And instead of criticizing the world out there, it should begin with us. Before we go any further, we should be asking that question that the disciples asked when they were sitting around the Lord's table, when the Lord's table was instituted, and Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. Do you remember what the disciples asked? Lord, is it I? Has this calamity come? Has this crisis come? Because it's me, Lord. Because it's your people on earth who have departed from thee. So it may be the judgment of God upon the world. It may be the chastening of God upon the Lord's people. There's something else that you ought to keep in mind when we see pandemics and we see crises in the world. That the judgment of sinners is primarily future. We have mentioned how God stepped into the old world and destroyed it. We have mentioned what he did to the cities of the plain in the days of Lot. We see judgments here and there scattered throughout the scriptures that we know were divine judgments that God sent upon a wicked people. But the judgment of sinners is primarily future. There is coming an awful day when a holy God will pour out his wrath upon this earth without measure upon the ungodly. But my friends, that's future. In the day when Jesus comes again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a text here in New Testament history that should not be overlooked in these days. And it's the words that I've read with you in Luke chapter 13 and the opening five verses. The Lord Jesus draws attention to two recent disasters in his time to teach not the judgment of God, but the urgency of repentance. And I want to do the same. I want to suggest to you that when pandemics like the coronavirus is coming, it's not necessarily teaching us the judgment of God. It may be, but it is teaching this world the necessity to repent of sin and turn to the Lord. And I want to proclaim therefore the message of Christ in this calamitous time, for I believe this is a timely message for us. And I've just two points that I want to leave with you. First of all, there is a supposition that was incorrect, and I want you to look at what the Lord is saying here in verse 2 and also in verse 4. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? You see, there were people thinking this way. There were people at that season came telling Christ about the Galileans, and the Lord is asking this question to them. Do you think that these Galileans were great sinners, and that's why they died in such a cruel way at the hand of Pilate? And then in verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Our Lord speaks about some horrific event when Pilate had a number of Galileans massacred. We don't have a record in secular history about this specific incident, so we don't know exactly what it was that the Lord was referring to. But there is a similar incident before the ministry of Christ, and it was on that occasion when Pilate wanted to build an aqueduct from the pools of Solomon to the city of Jerusalem. And to finance this project, he demanded money from the temple treasury, money that had been dedicated to God. And this outraged the priests and the people. And so when the Jews sent a delegation to beg for their money to be brought back again, Pilate sent soldiers into the crowd, dressed as common people, and at a certain signal, they took out their daggers and they began to hack the people, asking them for money. Now, this incident shows the true character of Pontius Pilate. He was a wicked man. He was a brutal man. A man that was more than capable of slaughtering a group of Galilean Jews as they were sacrificing to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. These men were in the very act of religious work, sacrificing to God, when the officers of Pilate came upon them, probably by surprise, and drew their swords and in a most brutal fashion cut them down. Neither the holiness of the place nor the sacredness of their work protected them. Savagely and callously they were mown down, and their blood mingled with the blood of the sacrifices that they were offering. The Jews wrongly concluded that they must have died because they were great sinners, that they had committed some terrible sins. Now, though Pilate was wrong and unjust in killing them, yet the people assumed that they must have really been wicked people to have faced such a barbaric death. But Jesus asks, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans? Do you think that they died in such a horrible way because they had committed greater sins than others? The Lord mentions two disasters here that were well known and rehearsed in that day. The first one to do with the Galileans, and the other one, the second one, to do with the 18 people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed. One was an evil done by the hand of man, what Pilate did, what his soldiers did at his command. The other seemed to be a natural disaster that was an accident, a freak accident that this tower fell upon the people and killed 18 of them. Towers were built for safety, but this tower somehow became very unsafe and collapsed upon this group of people, and 18 of them died. Here's a divine judgment, the people concluded. They died because of some wicked sin that they had committed. Did these men die because they were greater sinners? Did they die because it was the judgment of God poured out? We find it so easy to conclude that some people suffer and even die because they must be wicked people. We often jump to wrong conclusions. Sometimes we even presume that God is punishing people that we know. Maybe they have been personal enemies. Maybe they have done us great harm. They have done us an injury. They have hurt us in some awful way. And when something horrific happens to them, we draw this conclusion that has happened because they have wronged us. Be very careful what you suppose. Do not be hasty in making such judgments. I myself am very reluctant to say that bad things happen to some people because they have committed some awful sins before God. Jesus corrected the thinking of the people of that day. Jesus was not teaching that the Galileans were innocent people. No, he didn't teach that. He didn't even teach that they didn't deserve to die. He simply taught that they were not more guilty. And all men stand before God as guilty sinners. And all men deserve his punishment and ruination forevermore. Our sins demand death. Eternal death. Not just that physical death that brings us to leave this world when there is the separation of the body and the soul, but what we deserve forevermore is eternal death in a Christless eternity. If we got our just deserts, that's where we would be, in hell forever. That's where I deserve to be. However, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's God's grace that has preserved you and I thus far and not cut you down. Oh, my friend, maybe you're a sinner listening in to this service today. I want you to know the truth of this scripture. It's the mercy of God that you're not consumed. It's the mercy of God that you're not dead already. It's the mercy of God that you're not in hell already. You want to consider that and see the greatness of the mercy. God might step in to judge with pandemics. That might be just what's happening in the nations now. And God might just step in to chasten his people. And that could very well be what's happening in the nations now. Maybe it's a combination of both. But that is his sovereign prerogative. It's a matter that belongs to God and belongs to God exclusively. He knows what he is doing, and he will operate in this world and in your life and in mine according to his purpose. You and I are not to jump to conclusions. We are not to make suppositions which are untrue. We are not to pass verdicts and judgments when calamities come and pandemics sweep across the world. Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, "It is true, the wicked man sometimes falls dead in the street, but has not the minister fallen dead in the pulpit? It is true that a pleasure boat in which men were seeking their own pleasure on a Sunday has suddenly gone down, but is it not equally true that a ship which contained none but godly men who were bound upon an excursion to preach the gospel has gone down too?" We must not judge men wrongly. We must not judge them harshly. We must not judge them judgmentally. Matthew Henry said, "If we will be judging, we have enough to do to judge ourselves. Let us, in our censures of others, do as we would be done by, for as we do, we shall be done by. Judge not that you be not judged." Matthew 7 verse 1 is quoted by the commentator, Matthew Henry. And that is so true, my friends. Instead of looking out and saying, "Oh, this is the judgment of God upon these wicked people or that section of the community, or here's the judgment of God even upon other Christians," we need to be looking inwardly. As I said earlier, is it I, Lord? We need to spend more time judging our sin. And when you do that, you and I will have more to attend to than trying to judge others. I have one other little thought as we look at this passage of Scripture. And it is a declaration that was necessary. The Lord had to declare something to these people that was absolutely important. And we have it here twice over in verses 3 and 5. Thinking of the Galileans that had been murdered so brutally by Pilate when their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifices, this is what the Lord Jesus declared in verse 3. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And with reference to the 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam or in Siloam fell and they were killed, Jesus brought this declaration, this conclusion. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus Christ turns the focus off the question, or from the question, why did this happen, to the question, what does it mean to me? Do you see what I'm saying? People were making the conclusion, this is why it happened. But the Lord turns it about entirely. And the question really is not why it happened. The question is, what am I to learn? What am I to apply to my heart? You see, my friends, you are just as guilty. That's what Jesus says. Thinking about the people that died at the hand of Pilate's soldiers, or the 18 that died there in Siloam. Jesus says, you're just as guilty as those people. Don't you be thinking that they're more wicked in my sight than what you are. And the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying here also, you can die at any time. Because these people died when they didn't expect it. They were slaughtered there by Pilate. They were killed there in Siloam. They didn't expect it. And so repentance must be a top priority. That's what the Lord is teaching here. Those who died in both instances did not think that they would die so soon. And we suppose from what Jesus said that most of them, if not all of them, they died already and they perished. That's a lesson to learn. That these people who died in both instances, in both tragic instances, they died without the Lord and they perished in their sin forevermore. And that's something you need to learn. Instead of passing judgment and say they're wicked people and they died, maybe deserve to die, you need to realize, my friend, that they died without Christ, they died without faith, and they perish forever. And my friend, if that is you, it wouldn't really matter too much about those that died in those instances or those who die in any other case, even in the pandemic, when it comes to you dying. If you die without faith, if you die without the Lord, if you die without being saved, you perish forevermore. Because Jesus is warning of a day when men would perish, not just perish in the physical sense, but perish eternally. And Jesus told his hearers about the necessity of repentance in these instances. He is sending out a call to men to repent. That tragedy happened, and this tragedy happened. But except ye repent, you will perish just like they perish. And the Lord is giving such a call in these days of the pandemic of coronavirus. He's calling you, my friend, that you need to get right with God. You need to repent of your sin. And these are the things that we learn. We learn that we all deserve to perish just as much as these people here in Luke chapter 13. We learn that if we had have been dealt with according to our sins, we would have been dead and in hell a long time ago. It's the mercy of God that has preserved us and kept us alive to this moment. We learn that we must repent if it is to be well with us in the great eternity of God. Repentance is the only way, my dear friend, whoever you are, you must turn from your sin or perish. That's the message of Christ. And if we don't repent, we will certainly perish. We might die prematurely, in that sense, die young. We might die suddenly and unexpectedly, as these people in this chapter did. Therefore, you need to be right with God, and you need to repent of your sin. May God speak to our hearts today, and may we listen to the declaration that was an absolute necessary thing for Christ to give in his day, to these people. May that be the message that rings in your heart today. You need repentance. You need to turn from your sin. And as you turn from your sin, where do you turn? You turn to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who opened up the way whereby your sin could be forgiven on the cross of Calvary. You need to get to Christ. As you repent, turn to him in simple, childlike faith. If we had a closing hymn, which we don't, at least by way of singing, I would think of that hymn of great appeal in 269 that we sometimes sing at the close of a service. And I just want to read a verse to you. It's the hymn entitled, I Wandered Far Away from God. And it's verse 2. And maybe this is how you feel today, and I pray by the grace of God this is where you will be led today to pray this as a prayer to God right now. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. If you're not saved, you've wandered from God, wandered far away from God perhaps. Now is the time in the midst of this pandemic to get right with the Lord. Now is the time to acknowledge your need and to say, oh God, I repent with bitter tears. I'm coming home. I'm coming home to Jesus. Coming home to salvation. Coming home to heaven itself to start that journey that will lead me to glory. Let us bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, your word has been very powerful in our hearts as we think of the lessons that we ought to learn in the midst of coronavirus. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say to the people of his day who were being critical and judgmental and thinking others were such great sinners and they were not so bad. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Bring men to Christ today. Bring them to repentance and to faith. Lord, speak to them just where they are, sitting in their home at a screen of some description. Oh Lord, open their heart to the gospel. Bring them to the place where they bow the knee. And they say, in the words of this hymn writer, I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home, coming to Christ. Lord, do this for your name's sake. Continue with us through this Sabbath. Bless us in the afternoon. Sanctify it to us. And as we come back to preach tonight, may we know the help of God again. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. And amen. The Lord bless you.